John 3. God showed me, he showed me quite a bit. We read this scripture often. Let's read verse 16 and 17. All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now look at the beginning of that verse again. It says, God did what? So loved the world. Have you really taken the time to just meditate on what so loved is? Because if you haven't, then you can't even begin to understand just how God sees you. And it's important, it's very important that we understand exactly how God sees us. Because when things come up, they won't matter anymore. Because regardless of what the circumstances it may be, this is how my Father sees me. It's very important. That's why parents need to always encourage their children, even when they do something bonehead. They still need to be encouraged. You know, see, they're children. They do bonehead things because they don't know. You know, as adults, we do bonehead things we know. Okay. And we still need to be encouraged. Look, if we were going to get it, if all we had to do was read the Bible and we would get it, Jesus wouldn't have had any need to give 5 ministry gifts. And God wouldn't have had to say to study and show yourself approved. He would just say, read it, you'll get it, don't worry about it. But he knows. So when you look at the Amplified Bible, it says, God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. What's the next question? What do you think the next question is? Well, what does it mean when it's prized? If God says, I prize you, I want to know what it is. Okay, say it again, Emmanuel. He values you. That's what that word, according to the dictionary, means, to value or esteem highly. It means to estimate your worth. And God thought that our worth was so great that we were worth Jesus dying. That's how God sees, not just, now think about this. It doesn't say God so loved the born-again Christians. See, God doesn't just feel that way about us. He feels that way about every single person walking around on this planet. He so greatly prized the world. One of the definitions for prize is any valuable property captured during a time of war. See, that's why God commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because when we do so, and the Holy Ghost stirs the hearts of those that we're ministering to, we get them back. They're no longer casualties of Adam's transgression, but they are now back where they belong, as God's property. See, God understands we're in a spiritual war, and he wants all the world back because he has a value that he's placed on the world. We have to understand that we're valuable to God and that he considers us to be precious. And we really need to understand that the value God placed on us has nothing to do with how we act. Nothing. Look at Romans 5. I'm going to share this in the King James Amplified, and it's the first time I've used this last one, the Jubilee Bible 2000. Let's read it together in the King James, verse 8. Are you there? Romans 5, verse 8. Let's read it. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God saw us as being so valuable that even when we were rank sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait until we got it all together and then sent Jesus to the cross. While we were in the midst of doing whatever thing we were doing, God sent Jesus to die for us. The Amplified Bible says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us. But I like the way the Jubilee Bible put this. But God increased the price of his charity toward us in that while we were yet sinners, the Christ died for us. God looked at the state of man and said, I'm going to pour even more love on them. They are so valuable to me, I'm sending Christ to die just for them. But see, people, how many of you know that saying, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you? How many of you know that's false? My thing is, throw a stick at me. Okay. See why? You can dodge the stick or the stone. Can't dodge the words. Words can hurt. Words can penetrate. See, that natural bruise, after it will heal. The swelling will, put an ice pack on it, swelling will go down. Someone say something really mean-spirited to you that just cuts you. You can put an ice bag on it, but you still feel hurt by what they said. And sometimes with some people, I know nobody in here, but you can get this and help someone, but some people actually consider the words that were spoken about them, especially if they're spoken by someone whom you hold in high esteem. You're thinking, if they're saying that, there must be something wrong with me. And you walk around with your shoulders drooped forward and your head down. And you don't believe anymore that you're valuable. But the Holy Ghost showed me something last week. The letter came in and I read the letter and there was something in that letter that just exploded in me. And those of you that were here for Hour of Power Wednesday saw this. God told me to do it again. Okay. I'm holding a $20 bill. This is not a trick question. I'm being straight up with you, okay? How many of you would take this $20 bill if it were offered to you? Still amazes me that it's not everybody, Mom. That still amazes me. No strings, nothing. It's just like, here's $20. How many of you would take it? I mean, I would. Okay. I don't need $20. Not a matter of need. Okay. Someone said, here's $20. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Okay. But let me ask you something. Why would you want this $20? It's money. Well, a penny's money. You can tithe on it. Good spiritual answer over there. Okay. What was that? It's valuable. It has value. Yeah, and all you had to do was just get up and get it. How many of you would still take it? But it's all crumpled up. Then I walk away from it. Would you still take it? Even though it's been trampled on. Oh, I got one for you. I got one for you. Now it's been drugged through the dirt. And now it's dirty. Is it still valuable? Will you still take it? Why? It doesn't matter what this bill has gone through, it retains its original value. You need to understand, we all need to understand, that regardless of what has happened to us, whether it was our fault or not, we still maintain the original value that God placed on us. See, the government of this country has stated this piece of paper with these markings on it is worth $20. And the government backs it up and will continue to back it up for as long as it can. So it doesn't matter how old this bill gets. As a matter of fact, this morning, Pastor Red, I was looking. I tapped it at the end just because it was quicker to do it that way. This is Title 18, Section 333 of the United States Code. Okay. Defacement of currency is a violation. Defacement is generally defined as follows. Whoever mutilates, cuts, disfigures, perforates, unites, or cements together, or does any other thing to any bank bill, draft, note, or other evidence of debt issued by any national banking association, Federal Reserve Bank, or Federal Reserve System with the intent to render such items unfit to be reissued shall be fined not more than $100 or imprisoned not more than 6 months or both. So the government has said, you try and devalue that currency, you're going to jail. You're going to pay for it. God has said, don't mess with my anointing. Right? Now, if the government will fine you $100 and 6 months, what do you think God's going to do for anyone that tries to diminish your value? You need to think about that. What did the scripture say? Think of the birds of the air. They toil not, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Are you not much more valuable than a government-issued banknote? We belong to God, and He has declared our value. And we need to understand that nothing we can do will ever diminish our value because, remember the title of this message, your value is not determined by your condition. So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what someone has said about you or done to you. It doesn't really matter what you may have done or are currently doing. You are still valuable. Hallelujah. And precious to God. Still valuable. And it's so important that we see, God doesn't have a dysfunctional family. He doesn't have favorites. With God, you don't have the middle child syndrome or the only child syndrome, all these syndromes in families. God doesn't have, everybody's valuable. Everybody's priceless. If there was only one member in God's family, Jesus would have died for them. And it's no different right now. And we really need to understand this because, let's face it, life is not always easy. God said He so loved the world. He already said that. Said He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn. Why? Because condemnation decreases your value. See, we're not cars. Well, I am, but we're not automobiles. Okay. When we came, yeah, some of you just got it, I know. When we came out of our mother's womb, we didn't depreciate 15% immediately. That didn't happen. It doesn't matter how old we are. See, we're caught, the more miles you put on it. I mean, we're looking at one of our vehicles, had a lot of repairs that it needed, and so we looked up the value. And they had excellent, good, and poor. And their values assigned to each one. Naturally, excellent condition had the most valuable, and poor condition had the least. God doesn't do that with us. God said before, if you read in Jeremiah 1, especially in the Message Bible, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I had holy plans for you. He said, a prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. Well, that hasn't changed. Before you were formed, he saw you with that value. And it doesn't matter how many years have gone by after that, he still sees you with that value, whether you're headed in that direction or not. God still sees you as being valuable. He still expects that you're going to fulfill the destiny that he has assigned to you. He still expects it. And God has a history of proving that throughout eternity. Adam and Eve committed high treason. High treason. What they did was worthy of death. But yet, when they sinned, God said, you know what? Fig leaves are not a proper covering that will show exactly how I feel about them. So he put his plan in motion. The innocent had to suffer to be a covering for the guilty. Now, if he thought that Adam and Eve lost their value because they sinned, he wouldn't have cared what they had on. He was so concerned about them even after they sinned against him, he protected them by putting them out of the garden. He said, well, how can you be protected by putting them out? Well, if they had eaten from the tree of life in that sinful state, we'd have been doomed. So God, showing his love to them, said, I can't let you have this. It's for your own good. You need to understand, children, that God instilled that in parents. There's some things they won't let you do, and you don't understand, Ben, when they say it's for your own good. It really is. It may not feel good, but it's for your own good, and it's because they love you and they value you. David was guilty of adultery and premeditated murder. His value to God didn't diminish. Saul of Tarsus was a modern day terrorist when it came to the church. He thought his goal in life was to eradicate. I mean, think about it, he was doing the church what Hitler was trying to do to the Jews. And look what God did with him. God said he is a chosen vessel. How many of us would have thought that of Saul of Tarsus? Okay. Well, think about this one. What about Peter? See, he not only denied Christ three times, but when you think about it, he was a liar. Well, when did he lie? He said, I never knew him. That was a lie. You're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. That was a lie. But look what Jesus said to him after he did that, after he denied Christ. Jesus said, feed my sheep. gave him the responsibility to preach the gospel. And his first time speaking in public, about 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 didn't lose his value. Jesus didn't say, well, you were valuable. You're going to deny me three times? Forget you. I'll find somebody else. No, he was still valuable. Mary Magdalene caught, this one always gets me, caught in the very act of adultery. As Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton used to tell us, I'm amazed. How did they know where to go and look? Nobody asked those questions. And had seven demons that had to be cast out of her. Jesus didn't push her aside. She became part of his entourage. She and some other women like her. Why? Because they were still precious. Jesus was walking along. He looked up in a tree, and behold, there is Zacchaeus. Chief sinner is what some translations say. And what did Jesus say? I must spend time at your house today. He didn't say, let your people get with my people and we'll work something out. He said, I must spend time with you in your house. He said, I don't know if I want to go to be seen in your place. Let's go to Starbucks. Or if you want something a little heavier, we'll go to Joe's Crab Shack. Okay. But he said, no, I must spend time in your house today. Why? Because Jesus didn't see the sin. Jesus saw the value. And because Zacchaeus was valuable, he had retained his value, even though he was known as a chief sinner. Jesus didn't go into his house preaching fire and brimstone. He fellowshipped with him. Zacchaeus repeated and said to Zacchaeus, you better repent. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to return everything. I'm going to give half my money to the poor. And his whole household got saved. Why? Jesus saw him as valuable and treated him as if he were valuable. Folks, it's not enough to just say we're the RLCC family or we're in the family of God. Every family has attributes. And if you're part of a family, those attributes should be showing. We already know the Bible said that God is love. And the first line of the motto that he gave for this house, where the love of God is evident. And it does not say next to it, you could check it out when you leave in the lobby. It doesn't say, unless you've maintained your value by living a godly life. It said, where the love, Redeeming Love Christian Center, where the love of God is evident. And it's not based on you or what you do. It's based on who we are. We're the family at Redeeming Love Christian Center. And more importantly, we're the family of God. And we have to treat people accordingly. None of them, not Adam and Eve, not Zacchaeus, not Peter, none of them lost their value. They maintained the original value that they had before they were formed in their mother's womb, in spite of what they did. And that shouldn't surprise us, because God said, if you look in Hebrews 13, in the Amplified Bible, it says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you? Assuredly not. Now, that doesn't free us of our responsibility, but it just lets us know that even if we do miss it, accidentally or even on purpose, God still sees us as being valuable. He's not going to say, oh, you did what? No, now you're worth $11.50. You're no longer worth 20. And if you do something else, I'll bust you down to $5. No, God's not going to devalue you ever. He did say, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that we should obey the lust thereof, neither yield yourself, your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. You'll find that in Romans 6. But if for some reason you do, Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, in the Phillips Bible, I like where the Phillips Bible puts it. No condemnation now hangs over the head of those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. For the new spiritual principle of life in Christ lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. Now again, this isn't a license to deliberately sin, but you need to understand that regardless, you're going to retain your value. And think about this. The Bible, we started off talking about John 3:16, where it said, God so loved. Romans 8, still, now I'm in the Phillips, and I'm going to share it in the message. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Pastor Ed and I were talking about that earlier this week. Can trouble, pain, or persecution? And the answer is, can lack of clothes and food, danger to life and limb, the threat of force of arms? Indeed, some of us know the truth of the ancient text. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Next verse says, no. But the children say, nuh-uh. In all these things, we win an overwhelming victory through him who has proved his love for us. I have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today or what may happen tomorrow, neither a power on high or a power from below, nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing. But you have to hear it in the Message Bible. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare to even point the finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, nor hunger, nor homelessness. Not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us. Nothing that they try affects us in a negative way. Nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Folks, God considers us as valuable and precious, and we need to stamp it with a big period, or better than that, with a big exclamation point. Maybe four or five of them in a row. How many you have to put down until you get it, you just keep adding them, because we need to know that. We're not just family. We're the family of God. And we need to see each other, as well as ourselves, as being valuable and precious. We need to stop looking at what someone has done, or is doing, and start seeing everybody the same way God does. Valuable and precious. How valuable, how precious, worth the life of Christ. But he knew that beforehand. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace is all on him. And with his stripes, we were healed. We have to understand that. And there isn't, Jesus is not going to go and say, you did what? No, well, those stripes don't account for you. Whatever it is that has been done to you, or said about you, or affected you in any negative way, we're calling out. Calling it out today. Because we have to get rid of it, because we now understand that you have never diminished in your value to God. Never. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Then we're going to have communion. We did this on Wednesday. We're going to do it again today. I really want you to close your eyes. Guys, would you get know this ready, please? I want you to put your arms around like you're being embraced. And picture yourself sitting in your Father's arms. When you get it, just started. Sitting in your Father's arms on his lap. And he's speaking these words so tenderly to you. Because he wants you to know exactly what he thinks of you.